Welcome to Mom's Going Boldly, a Star Trek podcast.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Mom's Going Boldly is two moms who love Star Trek and who happen to have children on the autism spectrum. Join me, Elizabeth, and my co-host Vicky as each week we talk about Star Trek episodes, both new and old. Are you ready for the adventure? Come join us on Mom's Going Boldly.
Once again, our apologies for the audio.
Welcome back to Mom's Going Boldly. Today we're going to talk about episode 2, season 5 of Star Trek Discovery, Under the Twin Moons. I'm going to read a brief teaser of this episode from the MemoryAlphaFandom.com website. As the USS Discovery undergoes repairs in dry dock following the avalanche on Quemau, Captain Michael Burnham reviews a hologram of the Federation's first record of the progenitors. So did you like this episode?
I liked it much more than the last one, yes.
Same here. Much better.
I mean, there were parts where I was like, really? Like Saru suggesting book as number one? Like, in what universe should that ever happen? And a few parts along the way that I was like, really? But compared to last week, 100 times better.
Yes, I agree. And it's clear what they're trying to do here. They're going to follow a classic scavenger hunt kind of arc where they're going to keep finding clues. It was funny to me how they went from, we'll find the artifact there to, we'll find clues, even though they didn't actually know they were going to find clues. But it was so clear that that's where the writers wanted to go, inserting the word clues instead of artifact. But it was okay.
I liked it far better than last week. And actually, I have to say, I liked this episode far better than most of last season. So, I mean, they're stepping up a little bit. There's still a little bit too much angst.
Yeah.
We don't have to have the stopping and staring at each other between every conversation when they realize they're actually having a conversation and they're not suffering.
Yeah.
So then we have to suffer for a second.
But I really like what they did with Captain Rayner. I've liked Captain Rayner since we started this season, or now former Captain of the Antares.
Right. I was wondering when the episode first started what the inquiry was all about, because it was a red directive.
Yeah.
You know, so he did what he thought he had to do, and they're having an inquiry. But, you know, later on when he comes to help Tilly, I realized they just had to get him out of his position so he could be number one.
I really liked the character. I've liked the character since we met him because he's one of the few characters that actually seems to have some dimensions. So many of these characters are so two-dimensional. And this guy's got lots of dimensions. And I was like, oh, he's really great. But that's why I thought he was going to disappear. I thought he was going to go away because they always seem to take the interesting characters away.
Yes, last week I did think he was going to go away. And this week when they had the whole inquiry, I said not. And then I realized he wasn't going away. And then when he helped, I realized he was going to become part of the crew. But yeah, last week I did absolutely think he was going to go away. He was going to go off half-cocked like he does, and something was going to happen to him. And that's how it was going to be. Yeah.
Well, you were much faster on the uptake than I was, because I did not realize. I thought that we were going to go with book and that we're going to have the season of angst.
Exactly. And it was funny because they talk about book coming to join the crew for this mission. And the Admiral asks her, are you going to be all right? How many people have asked her, are you going to be all right throughout this whole series? And she's never all right. She never doesn't let her emotions get in the way of her decisions. Never. And then Saru suggesting book, I just thought was totally ridiculous.
I actually have some hope now for this season because I think Rayner is an excellent first officer for her. And I think that this hunt for this artifact, very much paralleling the hunt in the Next Generation episode where we first meet the progenitors. If you give me a minute, I'll actually remember the name of that episode.
Yeah, I was trying to remember too, and I can't. I meant to look it up, and I never got to it.
But that was a hunt as well, right?
Right. I believe so, yes.
They're doing the same kind of structure, which I don't mind. It's a comfortable structure, and it's a structure that offers interest and action. So I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, pretty much the only thing I remember, unless I go watch it again, and I'm sure I'll remember most of it from that episode, is the progenitor herself.
Yes.
Yeah, and that is pretty much the only thing I remember off the top of my head about that episode.
Well, they actually, and this will be interesting to see how much they parallel that storyline, because in that episode, they actually recruited, I think, the clones to join them in the hunt. So maybe Discovery will recruit somebody else to help them.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch that now, because you could be right. That might be the way it goes.
Yeah, and the Cardassians were sort of kind of recruited to help, but then they betrayed them. And they went off their own direction. And then the Romulans were essentially following stealthily.
Oh, okay.
Be interesting to see if a kind of a mirroring of those different elements here.
And that would make sense because Rayner mentioned different species, not at war, but having difficulties.
Yeah.
So you saying them bringing other species in to hunt kind of makes sense after he mentioned all of those other species.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good thought. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm definitely hopeful. I like you, I enjoyed this one. So yeah. So what did you think of this whole idea that Mal, one of the renegade people who's got the diary that they're looking for, she's related to Booker?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good twist.
You thought so? I was sort of like, oh no, it's another book to be angsty.
Right. That was going to be the second part of that sentence. It was a good twist, but now we have his emotions that are going to be playing a part in this whole thing again.
So, yeah. Okay, well, I can't think of anything else to say about this episode. I mean, we got to see Saru and Burnham have some really fun action before Saru goes off to become a Federation ambassador and marry Tarina, which I hope we see the wedding. I really want to see the wedding.
I know. How could they not? We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Doug Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good.
Doug here from the 13th Warehouse. If you are a fan of Eureka,
please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka at EurekaRewatch.com. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13,
please join Kim and Vicky over at the 13th Warehouse at the 13thWarehouse.com. You can also listen
on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Visit us on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse.
Attention Warehouse fans. Kim and Vicky continue on with the Warehouse theme on the 13th Warehouse with Friday the 13th, the 1988 television series. Follow Mickey, Ryan, and Jack as they hunt for cursed antiques sold by Uncle Lewis to unsuspecting and sometimes suspecting patrons of his antique shop. So stick with us on the 13th Warehouse for Friday the 13th, the series. You can listen to the 13th Warehouse on our website, the13thwarehouse.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
And we got to see Tilly with Adira and solving that they did with Rainer there. So we got to see that combination of personalities. And there we actually got to see Adira identify the next clue, which is going to take us to Trill, which I also thought was very interesting.
Yes, because in the last episode, they just mentioned how they miss Gray, but they feel a relief being on their own. So now they're going to Trill.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I thought that Adira got to the clue a little too fast. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more thinking, but wasn't too bad.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, because I thought of Trill before they said it because of the purple waters, whatever they called it. And probably only because of what they said last week about Gray.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe I had that in my head. Yeah, as soon as Saru started coming up with all these specifics about where they needed to go, I figured that it was going to be Trill.
Okay. See, once again, you were faster in the uptake than I was. And then we got to see, I thought it was really interesting to see Book working with Stamets. I thought that was an interesting grouping of personalities, which I thought worked.
Yes, and I think we said that when they worked together. Oh, when Stamets had to go to Book's ship as a hologram to help him or to keep him on track.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what they were doing at the time. And I think we said that at the time, too, that it was an interesting pairing.
Yes.
But at the time, they didn't know each other as well as book's been gone, so I guess they still don't know each other as well as Book knew the rest of the crew. But yeah, it was a good pairing that time, and it was good this time. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that worked. I think that last time is when, you know, Book stole the spore drive and he was heading out of the galaxy and he needed help.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I hope they pair him up more often.
I agree. I think that will be really good. And, you know, I think we're seeing sort of Culver and Stamets serving a role of sort of almost joint mental health approaches, right? We've got Culber who takes a very compassionate approach and Stamets who takes a very more direct approach and sometimes dealing with people with angst and stress. Those two approaches paired it up work really well. And these guys seem to do it well. So them having that role in this story, I think it kind of works.
It does work. I like it. Yes.
Okay. I think that's it. Anything else that you can think of that you want to comment about this episode?
No. Like I said, I liked it much better than last week. So that's positive. It was funny last week, the day after we recorded, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were at one of my son's activities and I asked him, did you watch the first episode? And he never made it past the spaceship surfing.
Yeah.
But he said, I understand it's Star Trek, but come on.
Did you encourage him to keep going?
I did, because by that time, even though it was just the day after we recorded, I had already seen this one. So I knew it was going to get better.
All right, good. Okay, well, then we invite our listeners to join us next time as we talk about Star Trek Discovery Season 5, Episode 3. And I believe this is pronounced Genol.
Okay, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You can continue exploring the universe with Moms Going Boldly by following us on Facebook at facebook.com/momsgoingboldly and on Twitter at momsgoingboldly. The music used on Moms Going Boldly is Without Limits by Ross Bugden Music. On Twitter, at Ross Bugden. Licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License, creativecommons.org.
You can listen to Moms Going Boldly on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Player FM. And we're now also available on Apple Podcasts.
Transfer complete.